Well, I'll continue in the morning.
Sorry, I only have to come for 3 weeks. So
okay, good to see you. Then. Okay. I'm sorry a little bit for the lateness of the hour. How are you doing, David?
Thank God, wonderful.
You're doing great. Okay. So we began a new project here in the Derech HaLimud Shir. I call it Derech Limudo Shel Rambam. And we chose an area of the Rambam that I'm a little bit familiar with. Again, it's been many, many years since I studied this Rambam, these Rambams. And that's the Rambams in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So we're actually looking here, if you don't mind taking this. John, you have any of the pages?
I have pages 8 and 9.
8 and 9. So if you want to make other copies, or if you have any extra copies, I leave the copies here, but I see now there's a new policy here, so they clean it up. And so what can I do?
Is this from the unpublished book?
Yes, this is an unpublished manuscript. Okay, so we're opening up, if you have the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. That's always a good place to start, is it not? Now, by way of introduction, I'm hoping to cover two topics today before we have to break for Mincha. The first of which is the status of Avodin. When I say an Eved, I'm talking about an Eved Knani. And what's his status as far as the mitzvah Talmud Torah is concerned? And the Rama opens up Hilchos Talmud Torah by telling us that Noshim Vavodim Uktanim Pturim Mi Talmud Torah. So an Eved clearly is potter from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the question we're going to address is why. But by way of introduction, just in terms of Derech HaLimud, what we're going to gain hopefully today is what I call Makom Havas Din Barambam. It's very critical to understand where the Rambam quotes a halacha. If he quotes it here, then it's contextually related to here. If he quotes it here, it's related to there. So we're going to be very sensitive to see where the Rambam quotes this halacha that an Eved is potter from Talmud Torah. Because the Rambam has another section in the Yad HaChazak in the Mishnah Torah called Hilchos Avodin. And in that section he tells you what obligations apply, what mitzvahs apply to an Eved and what don't, and the relationship between the Adon and his Eved. And if the Rambam is going to tell me something about Hilchos Avodim, then where should the Rambam codify the halachas of an Eved? And in this case, Talmud, vis-a-vis the mitzvah Talmud Torah, where would you anticipate we'll find it? Again, if it's halacha that an Eved, because of the special dinim of an Eved, then it should be where? In Hilchos Avodim, right? But if it's not a law in Avodim, just that an Eved is part of a general category, then if he's exempt from Talmud Torah the same way an Isha is exempt from, then I could justify why the Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Ishus. I'm sorry, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So we'll get into this in just a minute. But a second thing, which again is methodologically critical in how we approach the Rambam, is that the Rambam very often uses the word patur, and in other contexts he uses the word asur. And obviously there's a major difference. The Rambam is always very careful. Sometimes he'll say that, you know what, you're not obligated in the mitzvah. If you want to, you can take advantage of the mitzvah. Correct? Like for example, a woman we discussed last week is exempt from Talmud Torah, correct? Can she learn Torah? Let's say a woman on her own. Yeah, the Rambam has a whole section about women learning Torah on their own. And teaching Torah to women is more complicated, but if a woman is motivated and wants to learn Torah on her own, the Rambam says that she'll get schar, she'll get rewarded for that. So the Rambam here is telling you at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the woman is not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah, that's called potter. If you read this Rambam as far as Eved is concerned, what conclusion would you intuitively derive as far as an Eved? Ben? Are you looking at me like I'm...
No, I'm thinking Potter also.
Potter, he says, Noshim Avodim Peturim. He doesn't have a flinch of a difference there. He doesn't have a nuance of a difference between the status of a woman in Talmud Torah and the status of an Eved. So if an Eved would be motivated to study Torah, what impression would you get from the Rambam?
I'm thinking...
He should be allowed to do so. Do you follow?
Allowed to do so, but also get schar, even though
he would get schar.
Eved
Kanani. Wow. Oh, so let's talk about Eved Kanani for a minute. Maybe I didn't give enough of an introduction. What's the status of an Eved Kanani in halacha? I'll give you an example. We have in halacha a whole hierarchy of what we call Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael means that you climb up towards the highest level of sanctity. And the truth is, there's really no one individual who can claim that he has the highest level of sanctity, because even if a Kohen Gadol would be a Nazir, he's still not a Melech. So there's Kedushas Malchus, and there's Kedushas Nazir, and there's Kedushas Kohen Gadol, and then there's a regular Kohenim. So for example, I don't have the same Kedusha as a Kohen, because I'm a Yisrael. I don't have the same Kedusha as a Kohen Gadol, for sure. I don't have the Kedusha of a Nazir, because in the meantime I'm not a Nazir, although my wife says I need a haircut. I don't have the Kedusha of a Melech, because in the meantime I'm not a Melech, hint, hint. But I have Kedusha. So when we make a bracha, what's the nusach of bracha on a mitzvah? Asher
Kidshanu
mitzvah. So in other words, the Kedusha is always measured by a mitzvah. Okay. Now, the lowest level of Kedusha that exists in the universe is called what? Ben Noach. How many mitzvahs does a Ben Noach have?
Seven.
Excellent. Then we move a little bit higher. We have something called a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is included in more mitzvahs. He's allowed some mitzvahs he's maybe obligated in terms of settling the land, and other mitzvahs that he's allowed to fulfill where another guy would not be allowed to fulfill. So we get to the level of a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav, for example, if somebody kills him, he has to go to the Ir Miklat. A Ger Toshav, we have to be machaya him, meaning if he's poor, we have to make sure that he's given food and so on. So that's the Kedusha of a Ger Toshav. Then we have something called a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek has the identical Kedusha of Yisrael. He has the full-fledged Kedusha, 613 mitzvahs. However, between Ger Toshav and Ger Tzedek, there's a level in between which is called an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani has most mitzvahs, but not all mitzvahs. He has mitzvahs through a process of Gerus, but when he experiences Shichrur, meaning when his Adon frees him, then he undergoes another process of Gerus. So for example, when he enters into the first Gerus as an Eved Kanani, he has what's called Mila and Tvila. Then at the end of the process, when he becomes a full Ger Tzedek, at the time of Shichur, he undergoes Tvila, without Mila. He's already Gemalt. He doesn't even need another Mila, which is called Hatafas Namdris. Okay. Fine. So now we have an Eved Kanani. So now we have to ask the following question. If you're telling me that an Eved Kanani is already a Ger, not completely, he doesn't have a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael, but he has most mitzvahs, so now I need a barometer. Which mitzvahs do we have, and which mitzvahs do we not have? Where does the Eved fit in? So this is called what? Anybody remember the famous Gezeira Shava? Don't all answer at once. La, la. In the Parsha of Eved, it says La, Lamed Hei. In the Parsha of Isha, it says La. And we have a Gzeira Shava. And that Gzeira Shava teaches me that an Eved is obligated in all the mitzvahs that a woman is obligated in. What would that exclude?
Exclude Talmud Torah.
Well, it's fine, sorry, you're already holding on Talmud Torah. I'm getting to Talmud Torah. But
it's
fine. Correct. So time-bound mitzvahs are not obligatory neither for the case of an Isha, nor in the case of an Eved. Okay. Dave.
Is he obliged to bake challah and light candles and where women is?
That's an interesting question. The Gzeir Shabbat La La means the following. That since a man and a woman both are obligated in challah, again, for whatever reason we can talk about, we give, you know, the woman the first opportunity. What else did you mention? Oh, I'd love us near Shabbos, right? So my wife is going to New York for a week to see her parents, and it overlaps with Shabbos. What happens? I have to light Shabbos candles. That's clear. again, for whatever reason, we give women the schar, you know, for those mitzvahs, but those mitzvahs are obligatory to both men and women. So basically, an eved reaches the chiyuv mitzvahs of an isha. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Noshim v'avodim pturim mitalmud Torah. And the Kesef Mishnah adds the following comment, which, again, if I only saw the Kesef Mishnah, I would be very upset with this Kesef Mishnah, because it undermines my whole thesis about how to learn the Rambam, which is what we're talking about. And he writes, Besof Perek Sheni de Ksubis, he quotes a sugya at the end of the second Perek in Ksubis, Amrinon, the Gemara says, the Osir Sheyelamed Es Avdo Torah. In other words, how does the Kesef Mishnah interpret the word pturim?
More like
how does he bifurcate it, if you can use that word? I don't know the proper English word. What does the word pturim mean? That's two different meanings.
In this case, it means asur.
Well, it depends. When it comes to women, who the Rambam has both Noshim and Avodim in the same breath. And the Rambam himself says in the last halacha in this chapter, we didn't get to it yet, but you can fast forward if you have the Rambam, that women, if they decide to learn Torah, they get schar. Now he's telling me that there's an Isser. So the word potter means two different things here. With regard to Noshim, clearly it means that they're exempt, but they can voluntarily study Torah. With regard to Avodim, says the Kesef Mishnah, it's a no-no. It's an Isser.
Shilamein, that's teaching. Shilamein.
Correct. Excellent, excellent point. Your last name is Myers, right?
Correct.
But I forget your first name.
Shmuley.
Mm-hmm. So Shmuley is making a very good point that maybe this Kesef Mishnah doesn't have to undermine our thesis. We can reconcile our reading of the Rambam together with the Kesef Mishnah. That is, that the Eved is potter from Talmud Torah. Which means, if he wants to take the initiative, he can study Torah, no different than an Isha. What is the Kesef Mishnah pointing out? So if you read the Kesef Mishnah meticulously, he says, Osu shi'alamed es avdo Torah. And we're to find something similar in the Rambam with regard to women, that a father is not allowed to teach his daughter Torah. Again, the Rambam then differentiates between Torah Shemachsav and Torah Shemal Peh, but be that as it may, with regard to Torah Shemal Peh, the Rambam says a father is not allowed to teach his daughter Torah. In a similar way, the Adon, right, he's the Jewish master, is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah. The only problem I have is, if Shmuley's right, then why doesn't the Rambam tell me this? So before you read the next line, which you probably already read, I would say the following. If the Rambam wants to tell me that the Adon is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah, that doesn't belong in Hilchus Talmud Torah, because as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, what word is appropriate to describe the law of the Eved? Potter, which means that if he, the Eved, wants to take the initiative, he can. He's tovel abracha. He's invited to do so. If there's a din that the Adon is not allowed to teach the Eved Torah, where would the Rambam codify that halacha?
Hilchus Talmud Torah.
What do you say?
Ilchot Talmud Torah.
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to tell me that the Adon is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah, mm-hmm. then that halacha should be understood within the framework of a relationship. Do you understand what I mean by a relationship? A relationship between who and who?
Master and slave.
Master and slave. Again, I have to clue as to why that relationship would generate the halacha that he can't teach his Eved Torah. But that has nothing to do with Hilchus Talmud Torah. That has to do with Hilchus Avadim. Because Hilchus Avadim is dedicated to the laws that govern the relationship between the master and his Eved. As far as Talmud Torah is concerned, what's the status of an Eved? Potter. Now the Kesef Mishnah invokes the Gemara in Ksubis. So what are we going to learn from the Gemara in Ksubis? A din in Avadim. That the Adon is not allowed to teach his Eved. Let me ask you the following question. Supposing I want to teach your Eved Torah, would I be allowed to do so?
If Shrimadaik, it says not teaching your
right. Look at the language. Both in the in Ksuvus and in the Rambam. In the Gemara Ksuvus, it says Osir Shilamed Es Avdo Torah. The Rambam codifies this in the 8th chapter of Hilchos Avodim, and he writes Osir Liodim Lelamed Es Avdo Torah. It doesn't say Osir Liodim Lelamed Eved Torah. It says Osir Liodim Lelamed Es Avdo Torah. And now it comes out that there are Tzvei Dinim here. Again, that's why I always say that Brisk is built on the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam codifies everything. He classifies everything. And if you see that the Rambam classifies and codifies the same halach in two different parts, you know that what? It's Tzvei Dinim. One din is a din in Hilchas Talmud Torah. What's the status of the Eved Hilchas Talmud Torah? The answer is what? Four letters. Patur. And then there's another din which governs the relationship between the Adon and his Eved. That's Halach and Hilchas Avadim. And what's the word that's appropriate here?
Asur.
All that is two lines in this as Daniel calls it, manuscript. Yeah, David?
The Asur is for the Adon to teach the Eved.
Correct.
The Eved is allowed.
That's what I'm suggesting. Again, the, you know, it's only in the only the Gra is saying this Azari Elchanan. I don't know how you pronounce an ayin and an alf. You know, I haven't found this anywhere, but it seems to me that if you read them at Rama meticulously, the Rama would allow an Eved to study Torah on his own initiative. He's only potter from the Chiv, and we're going to have to understand why he's potter. But he's not what we call mufka. He's not excluded from studying Torah. By the way, just on the side, which part of the Torah would you say that a woman should have to study? Well, when you study Torah, again, you're not in a smicha program, so you're studying kodshim. But let's say you're in a smicha program, I'm just giving you a saber to ozen. What part of the Torah are you going to study in the smicha program?
Halach l'maaseh.
So if I ask you the following question, you know, now that I've given you a mental, you know, framework, what part of Torah would a woman have to study? What would be your answer?
Halach l'maaseh.
But which halach l'maaseh?
Those that you're
the, exactly, those laws that are relevant to a woman. Now fast forward to an Eved. If I were to tell you that an Eved is potter from Talmud Torah, and at the same breath I would tell you, but he has to learn Torah, what would be the answer to that paradox?
He should learn Nezikin or...
Correct. What do you mean, Nezikin? I promise you he'd have to learn 90% of the Torah. Mm. Maybe 99%
of the Torah. He can't steal, he's got
to... What do you mean? He's chayv in all mitzvahs. Okay, so maybe he doesn't have to learn the laws of lulav or shofar, you know.
Yeah.
You with me on that? Because he's not chayav in lulav and shofar because it's a time-bound mitzvah.
No.
But I'm telling you, 90% of the Torah, more, I'm convinced it's closer to 99% he would have to learn. He wouldn't have to learn kachim because he's not chayav in kachim, and not only that, kachim is at this point theoretical, you know, it's conceptual. And he's not obligated in conceptual learning. We're obligated in conceptual learning. Everyone in this room. So there's no difference between learning the laws of Hilchos Shacharis, you know, and where to bow down in Tefillah, and the laws of Kodesh. For us, there's no difference. Adara, maybe Kodesh will bring the Mashiach. Okay, let's go on to the second paragraph. Okay. So we came to the conclusion that Eved, as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, comes under two different categories, two different dinim. One din is a ptur, he's part of Talmud Torah, and the second din is an isur. Okay. Now, all that I presented to you is against the Levush. The Levush was Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa. He lived about 5 centuries ago. He was a contemporary of the Ramah. And the reason why we don't study the Levush is because the Ramah got to the publisher before the Levush did. The Levush wrote a Shulchan Aruch, but the Levush came a little bit too late. He missed the boat. The Ramah published his Shulchan Aruch before. And in fact, the Ramah himself missed the boat. He also came late because the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yossi Kair, beat him out. So he wrote the Mapa, which is there's the Shulchan, and then there's a tablecloth. So he wrote the Ramah that we know of is really called the Mapa. People don't know that. And then the Levush was already beaten out, so nobody learns the Levush. But the Levush is excellent. Except in this case, I think I disagree with him. If I could do such a thing. The Levush writes, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, where are the laws of Talmud Torah? Because since we're going to be learning Talmud Torah, I want you to know where they're codified. In which of the four sections?
Yoredeya.
So Levush in Yoredeya writes that Hamalamed es Avdo Torah ki'ilu malamdo tiflus. And that's why you're not allowed to teach your Eved Torah. Does anybody have any comments on that? Critiques, if you will. Why do I find this very uncomfortable, this Levush?
The Eved is going to be a full-fledged Jew after he's released, and so why now it's considered teaching?
Yeah, is his intellectual capacity in somewhat impaired because he hasn't jumped into the mikveh yet? His Adon didn't give him a get shichur. All of a sudden, the Adon gives him a get shichur, and he becomes intellectually capable of understanding the Torah. It's like a little bit difficult. In the case of an Isha, the Rambam codifies the halach of Tiflus, that a woman is not oriented to study Torah, here in Hilchas Talmud Torah. If the Levush is right, that we have a problem with regard to the Eved because of Tiflus, where should the Rambam have codified that halach? In Hilchas Talmud Torah, the same way he did it with regard to an Isha. Would you mind, Shmuley, just reading? Just read out loud the last Rambam in Perek Aleph. That's it. You got it. It should be over here.
Okay.
No, just see if you can find the word tiflus. If you do a quick word search.
Control F.
Well, where does he talk about Isha?
It's Bitoy Torah. Hidu Limdo Tiflus.
Tiflus. Why is the Rambam codifying that in Hilchas Talmud Torah? Because that's Talmud Torah, Allah. The Rambam says.
What does tiflus mean, if you want?
Yeah, so the Rambam himself doesn't use the word tiflus, does he? Or he explains the word
tiflus. He does.
He says...
it's also before he doesn't pronounce.
Oh, he says that Rov Nashim, most women... Again, this is the Rambam is describing a historical period in which the... Do you remember I described to you this painting in the National Museum here? By, what's his name? Slips in my mind. Anyway, this great painter, he was the head of, I think, so he has a picture of a woman studying Torah. It's right there in one of the synagogues. Yeah. So anyway, she's holding on to a tzener ena, which is basically a translation of the Chumash into Yiddish. You have to look carefully to notice. So the Rambam says that Rov Noshim, Ein Daita Mechuvonis L'Slami, they're really not oriented to receive the Torah. Okay, I have a whole section on this. What Rambam means by divrei havoy? But they, in Yiddish, we'd say they fakrub in the Torah. You know, it becomes fakrub. It becomes totally distorted. Divrei havoy, frivolities and vanities and so forth and so on. Okay.
Yeah.
Off the block, right? But what's the name of that painter? Oof. It's one of these long Polish names. He was considered his time an outstanding. It's a beautiful painting. It's interesting, Daniil, that you chose Matan in that MMR, but that's another discussion. What I want to suggest is the following. I have three caches on the Levush. He rubs me the wrong way in three different ways. First of all, if the Levush is right, we have Ben's question. All of a sudden, he becomes a full-fledged Jew when he jumps into the mikveh after he gets a Gitshukra, and now he becomes this brilliant potential scholar in Torah studies. Like, what happened? 5 minutes ago, you told me that it's Tiflus, and now Torah on the highest level. Question number two. If the Levush is right, the Rambam should have codified the halach of Tiflus where? Here in Hilchas Talmud Torah. He codifies the halach of Tiflus vis-a-vis the women right here in Talmud Torah. Why didn't he do so with regard to Eved? Question number three. Why does the Rambam tell me that the master is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah? According to the Levush, can I teach your Eved Torah? The answer should be no, because of Tiflus. Those are my three questions on the Levush. And then we go on to the Radbaz. Now, in the Frankel edition of the Radbaz, in the very back, you don't have to open it now, I'm just telling you this for your own erudition, because we are committed to the Frankel edition to the Rambam for a million and one reasons. But one of it is because in the back they have something called the Sefer Likutim. And in the Sefer Likutim, they quote many different sources. Amongst them are the Tshuvas HaRadbaz. I happen to be a proud owner of the Tshuvas HaRadbaz. It was published in Venice about 4.5 centuries ago. It's one of my oldest Sfarim that I have. And I had to collect it piecemeal. It's 6 volumes. It took me years and years. But anyway, so in the Tshuvas HaRadbaz, he raises the following question. He says the following. How could this approach of Tiflus be sensible? In the case of a woman, she's a woman. In the case of an Eved's a man. Who says that Tiflus can be derived by this law, meaning that, you know, we have an equation between men, between women and Avadim as far as the mitzvahs are concerned. But he says that certain things reflect the fact that a woman is a woman. For example, a woman is not included in Baltaki, which means that she can shave off her beard. Okay? I don't know if you ever saw a woman with a beard. I have never seen a woman with a full beard, but there's a movie now that's very popular. Does anybody know what it's called? I can't remember its name, but it's very popular. It's about a woman with a beard. And whoever did the choreography, they say, did an amazing job, unless this woman really does have a beard. Anyway, so a woman is allowed to shave her beard. Even with a razor, you know, saying. So would you say because of law that an Eved is allowed to shave with a razor? In other words, there's certain things, says the Radbaz, that reflect a woman as a woman, qua female. Those things are not included in law. Obviously, the technicalities that apply to a woman don't apply to a man. Therefore, he raises the following question. How could the Levush assume within the context of law, that therefore, just like a woman has a Tiflus problem, so too an Eved has a Tiflus problem? That's his first question. Then he goes on to say that the Gemara mentions that teaching a woman Torah is called Tiflus. The Gemara never mentions an Eved. An Eved is a male. It doesn't say that teaching him is Tiflus. And then he goes on to say, and this is our problem, why didn't the Rambam mention Tiflus here in Talmud Torah? We added another question, that if the Rambam holds from Tiflus, then why does the Rambam codify in Hilchas Avodim that the Adon is not allowed to teach his Eved Tiflus? The Hanira was there, if anybody who wants to follow inside. Here's the following question. The Gemara establishes the principle of law. And therefore, any mitzvah that a woman is exempt from, a man is exempt from, based on this Gzeres Shavah. How do we understand that? Is it a din of Ptur Gavra? I'll explain. Or is it a hafka? What's the difference between the two? So what I'm utilizing here is more of the classical brisket jargon. But the important thing is not the jargon and the terminology, but the concepts themselves. If we assume that the Rambam here in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph is simply activating the universal principle of law, that just like a woman is exempt, so too an Eved is exempt. That's called a Ptur Gavra. But it could be possible that the Rambam here is not talking about a Ptur Gavra, but rather a Hafka. Okay, let me explain to you what I mean by Hafka. Let's say a woman decides that she wants to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Does anybody here recognize women of that sort? Raise your hand. Only 2 people? Right. All Ashkenazic women will come to Rosh Hashanah davening and they'll be mocked to be there for shofar. Are they obligated to hear the shofar? A robust no. It's a Zman Groma. So basically what we have with regard to Zman Groma in the case of Noshim is an exemption, but it's not a Hafkah. to such an extent, and again, this is only true for Ashkenazim, based on Rabbi Natan, that a woman could make a bracha asher kidshonu b'mitzvoso b'tzivonu on a time-bound mitzvah. And the Rama rejects it, and the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch rejects it, and Sephardic woman will never make a bracha on this money. So, for example, and I think you'll all agree with me, when an Ashkenazi woman sits in a sukkah on sukkahs, or takes a lulav on sukkahs, she will recite a bracha. Not a Sephardia. She's not even interested in hearing your bracha, if she's a true Sephardia. Because the Rambam is afraid that if we get women involved, they'll start making brachas on Zman Grova. But getting back to the Ashkenazi women, okay, that's called a woman's situation vis-a-vis Zman Grova is called a ptur. A ptur means that the mitzvah is given to you, but you're exempt from the mitzvah. It's a very abstract concept. But the nafkamina is, if you're given the mitzvah, it means you have the kedushas yisrael of that mitzvah. So when I turn to a woman and I say she's exempt from the mitzvah that's time-bound, what I'm saying to her are two things. On the one hand, I'm saying to her she has the kedusha of that mitzvah. On the other hand, I'm saying she's not obligated to the mitzvah. Where do you see that she has the kedusha of that mitzvah? So I'm just going to give you a technical answer to that question.
Because the word's patur, you have to have it.
No, I'm saying technically, where do you see that she has the kedusha of the mitzvah? Just technically, mechanically, in terms of halacha l'maisa, as you call it. Rabbeinu Tam, what does Rabbeinu Tam say about women in Shmai
Baruch?
She can make a bracha. Let's listen to the bracha.
Asher
kidshanu mitzvoso. Ben, what were you going to say?
That, eventually.
But what were you going to say before I cut you off?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember?
But I hear
but you hear what I'm saying? How could a woman say, Asher kidshanu mitzvoso v'tzivonu? Comes along Tosfos, and he says an Eved who wants to take a lulav or hear the shofar cannot make a bracha. What's that called? Hafka. That's not a ptur, that's hafka. Here's the fundamental difference between an isha and an Eved. If I were to tell you that a woman has less kedushas yisrael than a man, you could tar and feather me for that. That's absolutely unacceptable. I have the same kedushas yisrael as a kohen gadol who's a nazir, but I'm potter. He has additional kedusha because he's above kedushas yisrael, meaning he has a kedusha beyond kedushas yisrael. But I have the same claim to kedushas yisrael as the kohen gadol has. Because I'm included in that kedusha. At the end of the day, I may be exempt from various mitzvahs because I'm not a kohen, so I don't have to do the avodah. We'll let Don do the avodah, and he'll have to get gout from all the meat he's eating. That's a different joke. That's an inner joke. And a woman has kedusha yisrael with regard to all the mitzvahs. An eved, his kedusha yisrael. Again, we moved up from a Ben Noach, we got up to Ger Toshav, and then we got up to
Eved
Kenani. And Eved Kenani has the Kedusha that's limited. He needs Tevila when after Shichur. What is that Tevila going to do?
Move him to a Ger Tzeder, to full
Kedusha. Right, but what's that called? Kedusha. That's a Kedusha. In other words, Tevila in Geirus normally is an act of Kiddush that takes you from the lowest level of Kiddusha, which is 7 mitzvahs, to the highest level of Kiddusha of 613. The exception to the rule is Eved. Eved has a Maisa Kiddush that takes him from one level of 7 mitzvahs up to a level of being obligated in, we'll call it 600 mitzvahs. I don't know, I'm just making up a number. Then he needs another tefila, another kiddush, which is the geirus that's going to generate full-fledged kedushas yisrael. But in the meantime, vis-a-vis those 13 mitzvahs, he's lacking in the kedushas yisrael. So now let's go back to Talmud Torah. Where do we place? How do we define the law, the status of an eved vis-a-vis Talmud Torah? Two possibilities. One possibility to say it's a ptur gavra, like what? Like whom?
Like a woman.
And the other way is to say that he's mufka from Kedushas Yisrael, that he has the status of a guy with regard to Talmud Torah.
The word mufka mean it was there but it was taken out?
Or no, mufka there? Means he was never included in this case. Now you're raising another hakir, but that's not relevant to us today. Sometimes you mafki a person and sometimes he was never there to begin with. So because the Kedushas Yisrael is an evolutionary process, he never got to the level of Kedushas Yisrael vis-a-vis certain mitzvahs. Now, Rabosai, I'm going to be right with you, Dave, for a minute, but I just want to say one sentence so I don't lose my trend, because I'm going to forget this. There is a clear-cut barometer, meaning a litmus test, to decide whether Eved in Talmud Torah is a Ptur Gavra or it's Afka. Does anybody have any clue what I have in mind? No, what I mean to say is... Whether we did that, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. Whether we recite Birchas HaTorah. But I meant something different. What I meant to say is, in order to maintain the first side in our Chakir, meaning that Eved's status vis-a-vis Talmud Torah is that of a Ptur Gavra, I would have to derive that Ptur from what's called La La Me'isha. In other words, my anchor, my root for the Ptur Gavra of Talmud Torah, in the case of an Eved, would be Isha. That's called La La. If, on the other hand, La La would not operate and would not be relevant to Talmud Torah, which we'd have to figure out why, then I can establish the second possibility. What was the second possibility? Not Ptur Gavra, but Hafka. Because again, what I have, if my paradigm is Isha, because we don't have a pasuk by Eved, so Eved is going to be derived from Isha, and that's why he's part of the Talmud Torah, then the status of an Eved logically should be identical to that of an Isha, namely a Ptur Gavra. If, on the other hand, La doesn't operate with regard to Talmud Torah, and therefore the Eved is not going to be derived from Isha, we're going to have some sort of independent source for Eved, then I can establish, although it's a priori, it doesn't have to be so, a Hafka Skavra. Yeah, David?
Is the Hafka, is that like Isser? Is it forbidden?
So then we have to turn to a different Rambam. What's the status of a guy vis-a-vis Talmud Torah? Is a guy allowed to study Torah? So again, we're not up to that today because we're learning Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. But what I want you to put in your back pocket is that an Eved is not allowed to learn Torah. I'm sorry, a guy is not allowed to learn Torah. So now my question is, what's the status of an Eved? Eved cannot. Does he have the status of a guy vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, meaning his Kedushas Yisrael doesn't go that far, and therefore an Eved is not allowed to study Torah? Or do we say no? He has the Kedushas Yisrael vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, but there's a Hekish to Isha. And if there's a Hekish to Isha, then how do I classify an Eved vis-a-vis Talmud Torah? Ptur Gavra. And if it's a Ptur Gavra, then like the case of an Isha who can learn Torah and take her own initiative, so too the Eved could study Torah on his own initiative. If, on the other hand, Safka is Gavra, and now I come back to David's point that a guy is not allowed to learn Torah, and a guy who studies Torah is considered a thief because he's stealing from the Jewish nation, and that's based on a pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. What's the end of that pasuk? Morasha Kilas Yaakov. Morasha means it's our possession, and if he usurps our possession by studying Torah, then he should be put to death under the law of Gezeila, because that's one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So of course you can ask me, well, what about all these I don't know what you call them,
interfaith?
No, I don't mean the interfaith, but I mean these, I don't know what to call them, but these Jews that are the rabbis, I'm not sure if they're rabbis, I just don't know the history. I'm sorry, I apologize my ignorance. I shouldn't show my ignorance here, but you know, these these Jews that go down south and they teach Torah to evangelist Christians and so forth.
Torah should be Torah Shabbat, isn't there a distinction?
But who are these people? Just give me a name for them. Do they belong to some organization? Anybody know? They're teaching the Ben Noachite people.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that there are people.
There's a whole movement, you know, and it's taking on, I think, a lot more meaning. So what's the deal with that? So that comes back to another point that we made earlier today, and that is, remember I asked you, is a woman obligated to study Torah? And my answer is yes, but not exactly. What do I mean that a woman is obligated? What does she have to learn?
Halacha l'maisa.
So the same would apply to a Ben Noach. So if I want to teach a Ben Noach the laws of Malikas Ha'ov, that I'd be enjoined from doing. And he, the guy, is enjoined from studying because he's stealing Marasha Kilos Yaakov. If, on the other hand, I want to teach the guy Gzela, then Adarabba, that's a law that he has to study. If an Eved has the Kedushas Yisrael up to a certain point, but not to include Talmud Torah, therefore he goes back to his original status as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, that of what? What's his original status until you Makadish him? No, I'm saying. Let's start again. We started with a non-Jew. We're going up the ladder. At every stage we go up the ladder, we need a Maisa Kiddush, which is called Gerus. If I tell you that as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, the Eved Kenani has not reached that level of Kedushas Yisrael, right? Then what is his status? His status is that of a Ben Noach. Are you following me? You're guilty here until proven innocent. Meaning, until you have a Gerus that generates that Kedusha, you remain a God. The Eved Kenani is far, far, far from being a God. But he's not yet a Jew. He's not a Jew as far as Kedushas Yisrael in those mitzvos that were not included in his Gerus. Again, whatever the number is, I'm throwing out another 13 just for the fun of it, right? Let's say there are 13 mitzvahs that a guy is not included in. I'm sorry, that an Eved Kenani is not included in. So that means that his Gerus, taking him out of the status of Ben Noach, did not achieve the goal of Kedushas Yisrael vis-a-vis those 13 mitzvahs. So what's his status vis-a-vis these 13 mitzvahs?
Ben Noach.
He remains Ben Noach. Now I ask you the question, is he allowed to study Torah? And the answer is that Ben Noach is not allowed to study Torah. Again, this is highly theoretical because in the case of an Eved Kenani, he has to study 90% of the Torah for a different reason. Namely, why?
Halacha
l'maaseh. It's relevant to him. But let's take that 1% that's not relevant to him. There, he would have the same status as a God. But not so if I tell you that the Ptur of Talmud Torah in the case of an Eved is derived from Isha under the law of law. Because in that case, then the same status of an Isha is now going to be generated for an Eved. What's that? Ptur Gavra. So again, when I say Afkas Gavra, I mean the Eved is completely excluded. And Shmuley's right, he would not make a brach on Talmud Torah. He can't say Asher Kitchon Mitzvah Mitzvah Lassuk Mitzvah Torah. He doesn't have that Kedusha. If on the other hand, I'm going to say, forget about that, he's not Mufka. He has the Kedusha of Talmud Torah. Just that he's potter by virtue of law la mi isha, then just like an isha can make a bracha if she desires to learn Torah, so too an eved can learn Torah and make a bracha. So far, so good. Okay. Now, what would be in the world of halacha a motivating factor to say that it's not that the ptur eved is not included under law la? Meaning, if law says that a woman has X number of mitzvahs, and by virtue of the Gzeres Shavah, the Eved has the same number of mitzvahs, a woman is patur, right? It's called a patur gavra in the case of Talmud Torah. Then, wouldn't we derive the same conclusion? What would be an inhibiting factor to apply what is a universal principle, lala miisha? And derive what the Rambam says, Avodim Peturim Talmud Torah, from Isha. L'chara, that's the logical way of going.
Well, you mentioned before, the woman inherently, let's say, teach Tishla, whatever that word was. But
right.
Thinking that a woman, the man is not privy to it, but those factors would mitigate in his having learned Torah.
Excellent. So this I want to tell you is a major breakthrough called the Mishnah Lamelech. And the statement of that I'm about to present to you is perhaps the most famous chiddush of the Mishnah of Mishnah Lamelech. Does anybody know where the Mishnah Lamelech lived? 400 years ago. He was a Sephardic Jew. His name was Yaakov Roznas. If you know anyone with that last name, he's probably a descendant of the Mishnah Lamelech. I have a friend by the name of Roznas from Telstone. And the Mishnah Lamelech says the following. You'll see it here on the bottom of page 8. For those who have the page, and if you don't, you'll photocopy it, or I'll photocopy for you. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, and the Michas Chinuch quotes him myriads of times. Lo yalfina migzeres shavu lo lo. Ella ptur avodim mitzvahs aseh shazman grom. The only context in which we derive eved from isha is zman grom. Ach, however, the mitzvahs aseh shalo zman groma v'noshim pturos migzeres hakosuv miyuchedes. There are many different ways and reasons why in any particular case we exempt a woman. Some is because it's time-bound, but there are other mitzvahs that have nothing to do with time-bound. For example, the first mitzvah in Taryag is called what? Don't all answer at once. The first mitzvah in Taryag is called John Puruvu. Are women obligated in Puruvu? No. Is it a time-bound mitzvah? No. Why are women exempt? Because the Torah says v'kiv shua. There's a separate gzeres hakosuv in the case of Piri v'rivi that exempts women. Now ask yourself the following question, says the Mishnah Melech. What about an Eved? Is an Eved chayav in the mitzvah of Piri v'rivi or not? Says the Mishnah Melech, the last three lines on your page, ein ha'eved potur mi Piri v'rivi. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah seishas man groma. And law will only teach me that a mitzvah seishas man groma noshim pturos. But not in the case of Piri v'rivi where there's a special gzeres hakosuv, especially yalfusa. Adkan Mishnah Melech. Now comes Berzon. And what's Berzon I'm going to tell you now? Again, what are we learning today? David, you don't lose the forest for the trees. We're learning the laws of Talmud Torah, correct? And specifically, the status of X, of the Eved, right? So are you going to tell me now that an Eved is potter mi Talmud Torah by virtue of the Gzeir Shav of Law Law according to the Mishnah Melech?
No.
Because Talmud Torah is what kind of mitzvah? She'ein hazman grom. If it's not hazman grom, a mitzvah, says the Mishnah Melech, there's no reason to derive Eved from Isha. When do we have the right and the green light to derive Eved from Isha? Lola, that's only when it's a Ptur Zman Grama. But if it's derived from a Sefik Zeres Shava, a Sefik Zeres HaKosim, excuse me, it says, V'limadetam Osam Es B'neichem. B'neichem V'lo. B'no Seichem. That doesn't apply to Eved. If we're right that according to Mishnah Melech's breakthrough, there's no way of deriving a Ptur Eved from Isha, because La La has no relevance here, so why is an Eved Potter from Talmud Torah? And now I'm going to shift from Ptur Gavra to what? Tavka. And I'm going to say to you that the Kedushas Yisrael of an Eved falls shy of Talmud Torah. That as far as the mitzvah Talmud Torah is concerned, he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, he has the status of what? Of a guy. And the Nafkami is going to be whether he's allowed to learn Torah on his own. And I quote here a sefer called the Lechem Yehuda. That's the third paragraph on page 9. The trouble with you guys is you don't hang out with the Sfaradim too much. So I'm not going to waste my time if I ask you this question. Do you know anyone with the last name Ayash? We are very close friends. The last name is Ayash. They're from Paris. So I told Mishpachat Ayash that they should check their family genealogy because they're Bali Tshuva. And I have no doubt that they come from the Lechem Yehuda. The Lechem Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda Ayash. And he was considered the Gaon of his generation. They called him the Gaon Adar 3 centuries ago. And he was in a country called Algeria. You know, people don't know how ancient the Jewish community, how many centuries it goes back in Algeria. the Sephardic community in Algeria. Anyway, he was the greatest scholar of Algerian Jewry history. Okay, just for your knowledge. And he writes the following. He says that Hadi also lelamed avdo Torah. He says that you're not allowed to teach Torah to an Eved. Afilu Torah shebichsav. Rabosa, what does that tell you? What flashes in your mind as soon as I tell you Afilu Torah shebichsav? John? Why? How do you know it's Afka? Because what's the deal in the case of a woman?
She can learn Torah.
She's allowed to learn Torah Shavichsav. Nay, even more than that, I can teach her Torah Shavichsav. And the Lechem Yudah says, I cannot teach an Eved Torah Shavichsav. Rabosa, we're not dealing with Ptur Gavra. Because Ptur Gavra, if you derive from Isha, would not extend to Torah Shavichsav. We're allowed and even obligated to teach Torah Shavichsav, the Tzedarena that I spoke about before, to women. But in the case of the Eved, says Rabbi Yudah Yash, I can't even teach him Torah Shebichsav. So I ask myself the following question. What about Isha? You're telling me that an Eved is part of from Talmud Torah L'chora, ostensibly like an Isha. In the case of an Isha, we have to teach him Torah Shebichsav. So why are you telling me that I can't teach Torah Shebichsav to an Eved? Not only that, even more so. There's no status of Tiflus with regard to Torah Shebichsav. The whole concept of tiflus that women might misconstrue and distort the Torah only applies to Torah Shebaal Peh. Correct? So Torah Shebichsav, I mean, Nechama Leibovich was the, well, in her time, she was the expert on Torah Shebichsav. Well, one of the great experts. I don't know. Okay, in the yeshiva world, they didn't accept it because she was missing a yud. You know, instead of Nechama, her name would have had a yud, she would have been Nechemia, and then they would have studied it. Okay. But be that as it may, a woman could be an expert in Torah Shebichsav, Matan, or Vaseret, MMY, you know, any of those schools, that's fine. But an Eved? What's going on? Rabbi Yehuda Yash says, and you'll see his proofs in a minute, that you can't teach an Eved Torah Shebichsav. That's not Tiflus. There's no Tiflus with regard to Torah Shebichsav. A woman should be studying Torah Shebichsav. So why is he telling me I can't? Obviously, he's not working within the framework of what? Of la mi'isha. He's not using la to derive the status of an Eved vis-a-vis Talmud Torah. Because if he did, then just like a woman is obligated to study Torah Shebichsav, then an Eved should be obligated. He's saying you're not allowed to study Torah Shebichsav. David?
Didn't we say earlier that a goy is either obliged to or allowed to learn lach l'maisa, like a zela? So a goy could learn parts of the Torah.
Right, but we're talking about a major undertaking, you know, to study the 24 books of the Holy Writ.
Okay?
So I'm going to assume right now, until you prove me otherwise, that a guy is not allowed to take on the whole Torah Shebichsav as a study. I know that sounds a little odd to your ears because, you know, the Christians have the Old Testament. Again, I wouldn't rely on any of their translations whatsoever. But in any event, he writes, Abul Bavadim, when it comes to Avadim, he says, Ein Hefresh Beinom Levein Yisrael, there should be no difference between an Eved and a Yisrael as far as Tiflus is concerned, and yet we can't teach him Torah Shebichsav. Ela, says Rabbi Yehuda Yash, 3 centuries ago, Kevon Da'adayin Lo Nizgayru. What do you mean Lo Nizgayru? That's not true. But Eved Kenani has Geirus. But the answer is he doesn't have a full-fledged Geirus. He has a partial Geirus. He's a schizophrenic. He's both a guy and a Yisrael at the same time. Only the halacha can recognize such a thing. Chatzi Eved, chatzi Bechor. Says Rabbi Yehuda Yash, Dino ka'akum di asur lelamdo Torah. We're not allowed to teach Torah to the guy. Again, he's not talking about the Sheva Mitzvahs for Noah. And in the case of Eved Kenani, probably 90% of the Torah. But as far as Torah Shebichsav is concerned, that's included in the Isur of teaching Torah to a guy. We can't teach him Torah. And at the end of this whole presentation, he writes that the Levush is wrong by saying Tiflus. You remember we started our discussion today with the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa. And Rav Mordechai Yaffa writes that teaching Torah to an Eved is a matter of Tiflus. Says the Lechem Yudah, there's no Tiflus in teaching Torah to an Eved. The problem is that he's a guy. So what is it according to Rav? Is it Ptur Gavra or is Hafkasa Gavra? Tafkos agav. The only problem I have is that if the Lechem Yud is right, then shouldn't the Rambam somewhere in Hilchos Talmud Torah have mentioned this concept of Avkos Agavra? All the Rambam says about an Eved in Hilchos Talmud Torah is that Noshim Avodim Pturim Talmud Torah. That doesn't sound like a Avkos Gavra. That sounds like a Ptur. Moreover, where does the Rambam mention the Easter to teach Torah to an Eved? In Hilchos Avodim, Perek Ches. According to Lechem Yehuda, if the Rambam holds that an Eved is Mufka from Kedushas Yisrael, he has the same status as a guy vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, and that's why we can't teach him even Torah Shemachsam. If that be the case, why did the Rambam wait till Hilchas Avodim to tell me to formulate the Iser that you're allowed to teach Torah to an Eved? And moreover, what else should we ask on Lechem Yehuda? If we're not allowed to teach Torah to the Eved, just like we can't teach Torah to a guy, could I teach your Eved Torah? The answer is absolutely not. I can't teach any guy Torah. And yet the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodim, Osul Yodim Lelamed Es Avdo Torah. So we're not out of the, you know, we're not out in the clear yet. That's why I wrote here in the fourth paragraph, Adayin Tzorech Ivan. So Rabosa, I'd like to suggest that there's a separate halacha within the context of the relationship between an Adon and his master that prohibits the Adon from teaching his master his Eved Torah. Do you hear my goal here? At least in terms of methodology. Then again, as far as Hilchos Talmud Torah is concerned, an Eved is Potter. We have to see exactly why, but he's Potter. As far as the Iser of teaching Talmud Torah, that's halach in the context of the relationship between the Adon and his Eved, and it's a separate Iser. And in order to justify that, I would like to quote the Pri Chadosh. The Pri Chadosh, his name was Chizkio, and he lived about 3.5 centuries ago, and he has a comment in Masechta Gittin. The Gemara Masechta Gittin tells me that you're not allowed to free your Eved. Did you know that, Rabosai? That's a lav in the Torah. Well, at least an Iser. Right, it's an Iser. I say, okay. It's a lav above a chalasi. But that's not for us. We all have tavod. So the Pri Chodesh has an amazing chiddush here. He says, based on the way he understands the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara speaks about teaching Torah to an Eved, and the Gemara says that you're not allowed to teach Torah to an Eved, because noig be minog bonim. Who are you meant to teach Torah to? Your sons. The Torah says, Vishinantom Livonecha. By teaching Torah to your Eved, you're treating them like your sons. As I state in the Gemara. So the Prechar says, well, what does that mean? You can't teach your Eved, treat your Eved like a son? I mean, what if I want to give him my pillows to sleep on? The Gemara says, I can give him my bed to sleep on if there's only one bed. What's this all about? Says the Pri Chodesh, the imlimdo rabo here means his master Torah, v'noig bo minag bonim yotze lecherus. Okay, hold your horses. This is a very heavy concept here. And he says that if he's yotze lecherus by treating him like a son, is he violates the iser of liolam bem tavodu shelo l'shachrer evid knani liolam. Pilei Plaim, Rabbi, see what's going on here. The Pri Chodesh, he's telling me that if I treat my Eved the way I treat my son, then it means that what did I intend to do? To be Meshachar him. And that's a violation of the Iser being Meshachar the Eved. So Rabbi, so we begin to understand clearly that according to Pri Chodesh, the problem of teaching your Eved Torah has nothing to do with Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's rooted in the Iser of Lola Mem Tavod. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue tomorrow. It's wild, I'm telling you.